Hey everyone, welcome to the Worship Artistry Podcast. My name is Jason Houtsma, and with me as always, Mr. Daniel Arnelis. What is up, Daniel?
Hello.
He doesn't look at all like he thought he did he? Does he?
No, looking a little different.
Yeah, you lost the accent. Is that what's different?
I think so.
Is that what's different?
I think that's the only thing.
Well, you actually might, if you are a longtime Worship Artistry Podcast listener, you actually might recognize Christina Kislyanka's voice from last season when we talked to you about leading worship.
Yeah, I was a guest.
I know. And look at this.
I'm promoted.
You've been promoted.
It's amazing.
I know. And actually, she's now joining. She's going to be kind of co-hosting the podcast. We're on video, which is super weird. This is her idea, actually. So
yeah, I guess we'll try it.
These millennials.
Zillennials. Yeah.
We thought we'd try it a little bit different. We keep kind of playing around with the podcast. We suddenly found out that you're able to do video podcasts. And we were like, I have to listen to myself talk all the time while I'm editing. I have to see myself. You lose all pride. Like it all goes to the ground and you become a very humble person, as I'm sure you've noticed.
And now it's my turn.
Yes, now it's your turn. But yeah, we are super happy to just be trying something a little bit different. Daniel has been released. He's been fired. And just kidding. He
just
is not
from this portion.
And he has not been released. We had a conversation. It was just like, he's like, honestly, man, I got a lot of stuff to do and it would be helpful.
He's a busy guy.
Yeah. He's making a lot of lessons.
Yes.
And, he's traveling. He's been doing things with Worship Republic and Brenton Brown. And so he's not going away. He's still teaching and everything, but he's a little busier. And so we thought, I think honestly for me, what made the difference was last season, having a number of people in person and how much easier it is to have a conversation when you're actually in person rather than like waiting for glitches and Zooms and all that kind of thing. So,
yeah. And we can now video.
I know.
Person.
I know.
It would have been harder with Daniel.
It definitely. Daniel is not, how should we say, very tech savvy. Tech savvy is, it sometimes.
He did call you for tech support yesterday.
Yes. Actually, that was this morning.
Oh.
Yeah, it was this morning. Wow. And that might have been yesterday. It all blends together. But he is not. Sometimes with Daniel, I feel like I'm talking my mom through something, like learning how to use the internet. You know, it's like, what do I do? Like, look at the button. Which button?
Try turning it off and back on again.
That is shockingly usually the answer. But, you know, us older folks, you know, we have to figure it out. Daniel's older than me. I'm feeling older nowadays. You make me feel very old.
That's why I'm here.
Yeah, it's great.
It's my sole purpose.
Pushing me right out.
Yep.
Pushing me right out. but actually we've been joined by somebody who is even older today.
He's kind of a legend.
He is a legend.
Okay. He's entered legend status?
Yes, there's no kind of about it. I mean, the man is a legend. It was kind of funny because when Lori, his PR person, reached out and was like, hey, would you be in? She's like, I don't know if this would quite fit on your podcast, but would you be willing to have Mac Powell on your podcast? It's like, the legend?
The Mac Powell?
The McDaniel Powell? I don't think that's his actual
name. I don't know.
Mackenzie? I should have asked him that. I wonder what Mac is short for.
McDonald.
Mackenzie. I don't know.
I bet
I should ask
find
him.
Out on Wikipedia.
I should have asked him. No, it's better to just ask.
Okay. Well, yeah. Too late now.
But yes, we had Mac Powell on the podcast, and I have to say, it is probably one of my favorite interviews I've ever done.
Wow.
And that's saying a lot.
You've done a lot.
Yes, and 150-something, 160-something like that. But
crazy.
And a lot of amazing people, and I've interviewed a lot of amazing people for this particular season, which is very cool. But, you know, there's something about getting to meet a guy. Like, third day was, like, just popping on the scene when I was in high school. And so, like, I went and saw them at a small club. We talked about that a little bit. And it's just kind of cool to be like, dude, you were, like, a guy that I looked up to and was like, this guy rocks.
That's really cool.
Yeah. And he is, I mean, they really changed kind of the landscape of worship. They were one of the first artists to actually make a full record album that was all worship stuff.
Wow.
And he talks about that and it's surprising. I love when I interview people and they say, you know, a lot of people don't know this. because now all of you will know.
Wow.
So it's very cool.
So very cool.
But yeah, without further ado, Mac Powell.
So I am here with Mac Powell. He doesn't look a day older than when I saw him back in New Jersey leading Third Day about 25 years ago. And Mac, it is an honor to speak with you.
Well, I appreciate that. You're too kind. I've got quite a bit more gray than the last time you saw me.
Well, it was dark. It was dark in the club. I couldn't quite tell. But yeah, you had more of a goatee thing going on at the time, if I remember correctly.
That you are correct.
Well, I'll start you off with just with this. So when I was a kid, you know, when I was in high school, it was about 25 years ago. I went and saw you guys play Third Day. And I remember hearing you for the first time. And I think I heard you at Creation Fest. Me and my friend had actually made some fake press passes and got our way into, which is what you do at a Christian festival, is, you know, lie and find your way into and just get to hang out with all these bands and everything. And, but I remember just hearing your voice and just being shocked by it. It's just, it was like right away, it was just, it's so distinct. And it's funny even hearing you talk, because when you sing and talk, it's like the same voice. It's just like you carry authority with it. And so I wanted to ask you initially, just kind of, when did you realize for yourself that like that you're a vocalist? Were you born with a deep voice, or did that come later?
Oh, it definitely came later. If you go back and you listen to some of the first album, it's kind of crazy. In fact, I posted on Instagram a couple of weeks ago a video of Mark and myself, Mark Lee, who started the band with me. Before we had the full band, we were playing just as a duo, and sometimes we had a guy play keyboards with us. And it's so strange how different, and this is like maybe freshman year of college, so strange how different my voice. I sound like a chipmunk. All or no good tone to it at all. I was always a singer. Like I really feel like, I've joked with people when they ask me this question, but I feel like as soon as I was talking, I was singing. And there's probably some truth to that. I grew up around both my parents sing and play guitar, nothing professionally, but just they both were really good at it. And we had music around the house all the time. So, and then I grew up singing in church, singing in choir. And, you know, even at 7 or 8 years old, I remember singing solos in church. And so I was always a good singer, but the tone and the, you know, all of that kind of grew and came with age and with experience.
Well, it's awesome. You can really hear it. It's funny. You mentioned that you were singing as like when you were 8 years old. Now your new record is kind of interesting because it's your first like solo, like Christian, like CCM project, right? Cause you've done the country record and then you did Third Day Forever. But you really dive into like a lot of personal stuff on the record. Like I'm laughing because like Love Is the Reason, you're talking about, you know, going to church and hating it. And like, I'm like, well, my kids can definitely relate to that. Okay, that's great. I need to get them to listen to this song. See, there's a reason why we do this. And then they're also, you know, you're talking, you know, being 18 and kind of like your kind of born again experience. What was it like kind of diving back into some of those memories for you and getting to actually kind of flesh those out in song?
You know, it's interesting because I definitely didn't approach the album when I was writing. I didn't approach it in a way of going, okay, this is what I want to do. I want to write a lot of biographical, you know, songs. I don't know. It's interesting that sometimes you look back on a project and I'm not very good at coming up with themes and coming up with ideas and going, okay, this is what I want to make the record about. I'm more of like, let's take it song by song. And then by the time it's together and you look back on it, you go, what's God teaching me? What was he working on my heart that I didn't even realize at the time? And so it is interesting. I didn't, as I said, I wasn't planning on doing a very biographical kind of record, but it kind of turned out that way. Now, of course, not every song has that, but there's quite a bit, as you mentioned, on the record. And you know, when I did this record, it was so different than normal for me. Usually, yeah, I'm used to writing all the songs and then going in with the band with Third Day and sitting down with them and going, here's the song, what do you think? You know, let's shape the song and you guys put your parts to it. And is there a line that you think could be better? And so I'd never, with Third Day, we never were one of those bands that brought in other co-writers. Mm-hmm. We're a band that was looking for the best song available and we'll record that. Now, the vast majority of songs we recorded as Third Day were songs we wrote. There were a handful of things, like God of Wonders is a great example, where that was for a project. So we were asked to record that for a worship project, so we didn't write that. And then there were times like we would record Agnus Dei with Michael W. Smith. He was putting together a project, and we asked if we could do that song. But besides those handful of songs, the vast majority, we wrote ourselves. And so now, to fast forward to getting ready to prepare for making my solo Christian record, I started driving to Nashville because my manager asked me to. He said, well, you've never really done this before. Why don't you go to Nashville and start writing with some of the, you know, Christian writers? And I was like, well, okay, that's not really my vibe, but I'll try to do it. And started in January of 20. And the very first song that I wrote up in Nashville with a couple guys, with Hank Bentley and Jeff Pardo, was Love Is the Reason, which is my favorite song on the record. And the one that you've mentioned earlier. And I just, they did a great job of, they're amazing and songwriters, and they made me feel welcome into the writing process. And I soon fell in love with that. You know, I'd co-written with people before, but it wasn't a lot. And so to be able to do that, it was just a different experience, and I loved it. And that's, that kind of set the tone for the rest of the record.
Mm-hmm. So I wanted to ask you about, kind of how you have it since forever, like for as long as I can remember. I remember seeing you back, you know, like I said, back in New Jersey years and years ago, and you have always incorporated kind of some congregational sing-along, like worship stuff. And I think of your guys as when Third Day actually did the first like worship record, like I might be misremembering, and you might correct me on this one, but I remember that very much being one of those albums that, like, you guys being kind of on the forefront of artists who typically were doing like concerts, making worship records, making hey, we're actually making songs for people to sing along with, which was, I always thought of it as being, you know, well, you got your Vineyard and your Delirious and stuff over here. And then you've got your Christian artist that, you know, my mom hands me the paper from the Christian bookstore and says like, oh, if you like Pearl Jam, you like this band, you know? And like, those were separate, and like worship kind of came together with you guys, and you were kind of on the forefront. Can you tell me a little bit about, give me some of the why of that? Like what put you in that space?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, I think we probably get more credit than we deserve in that. There's some truth to, we were part of this new kind of thing, but I say new, but it had been done before. Like, for example, Petra, many, many years before us, made a couple records. And there were probably some other CCM acts that made worship records specifically. For us, it really came out of so much of us starting out as a band was playing for youth groups and leading worship. And so Mark and I, when we first started, we did that a lot, not exclusively, but we did it a lot. And then David, who is our drummer and Ty, our bass player, they went to church together. They played in the worship team for youth group at their church. And so it was a natural thing for us when we came together as a band that was, you know, part of what we did. It wasn't who we were. We weren't a worship band, but it was part of what we did. And so as we went and did concerts, we'd go into, whether we were playing a church or a club or whatever, we just brought that with us. It just made sense. And we soon found out after a couple of years, whenever we would do a worship song, a lot of people would come up to us after the shows and go, man, I really like that worship section. You guys should, you know, put together a record of that stuff. And we'd heard that so much, we went, okay, we're going to make this record. Now, here's the interesting thing that most people won't know. The worship record that we made was the biggest selling record that we ever made. And we were very fortunate to have a lot of gold records and several platinum records. But that one was the record that the Offerings album, it kind of opened up people's eyes. I think before that, people thought, well, that's the rock, new rock band. That's what my kids listen to. But once we made a worship record and that had that title, it opened up a lot of people's ears. I think people went, well, I'll listen to that and see how that is. But and I'm kind of jumping the gun a little bit, but we were going to make this record for our fans, and the record company didn't even want us to, which is labels want you to do is do a lot of worship stuff, right? But back then they thought they didn't like the idea, and we just wanted to make it for our fans. And we thought if we just put it out, we were hoping we would sell 30,000 units to help pay for making the record. We thought if we break even, that'll be great, because that's just a fan piece. In fact, the label allowed us to do it, but they said, we'll let you make this record, but it's not going to count against your contract. a bad thing for us, not a good thing. And so we said, okay, yeah, we'll do that. That's fine. And then we made it, and it just blew up. And so we were thankful. And, you know, it was the other thing interesting about it, too, was half of the record was live. So it was just previous songs that we already had that we just had recorded live, and we put that. And then the other half was brand new songs we'd written. So it was only, you know, it only took about a week to record the record, because half of it was already recorded live. But I forget what your initial question was, but that was kind of the reasoning of wanting to do it, because we'd always done worship. It had been part of a set for us and part of our career, and our fans were asking for it, so we made it. And yeah, you're right. I think we were part of, there weren't a lot of bands doing that. Well, we remember Sonic Flood had come out with their worship record, months before we did. We were already done with our record, but it just hadn't been put out yet. And we thought, oh man, we almost didn't put it out, because we thought we didn't want anybody to think we were trying to copy Sonic Flood, you know?
Yeah.
So, and once again, it was laughable. And, but anyway, we put it out, and we were very fortunate and blessed and thankful that it did so well and reached so many people.
Well, it was a moment for sure. And I mean, it's funny that you mentioned a little earlier about, I'm probably going to pronounce it wrong, Agnes Day. Am I saying that right? You recorded it.
Right.
But like, I mean, once again, I had that, my first CD was Go West, Young Man, because my mom said I had to buy one Christian record for every secular record I bought. And I was like, well, I'll just get this one out of the way. And it was like the first one I saw that I was like, all right. And that's, you know, Michael W. Smith had done Agnes Day on that. And it was like this like choiry, like angels thing. And then you guys took it and made it a song like, holy cow, I still do it that way years and years later. You know, like you really kind of took something that was already there and just made it amazing. It is incredible. You guys have always done a really good job of listening to your fans. My favorite moment of that concert that I saw you guys in New Jersey was there was one part at which you said like, hey, you guys like country songs? And the whole place was like, boo, no, and started like kissing and booing. And you guys like, oh, okay. Normally we do that and everyone likes it. So I guess we'll just skip that song and go to the next one.
You got to know your audience, right?
That's right. It's like, well, welcome to New Jersey. There you go. Now it seems like worship is still such a big part of your life. I mean, you're on staff as a worship pastor. Your new record has all this like personal stuff on it, but then it has Be Praised, which I'm like, you could totally just sing that in church. That would fit. How is being a worship pastor and like your concert experience, how have those two things informed each other? Just from the standpoint of like, okay, being a worship pastor and then also having been on the road for 20 years and knowing how to, you know, take a crowd. And at the same time, how has being a worship pastor informed the way that you interact with your audience?
That's a great question. I suppose that when I'm in concert, I have a little bit more of time, you know, to kind of say things and express ideas from songs. And I do have that in the service on Sunday morning, but it's much more limited. Our job is to prepare the way, you know, first of all, to worship the Lord, help lead the congregation in worship to the Lord, but it's also to prepare the hearts for people to hear the message. And so I think on Sunday morning, not that I don't ever talk or say anything, but it's usually very limited, and it's more about the music and the worship and, you know, getting people ready to hear that message. So I think that's kind of, the differences, but at the same time, being able to, it's almost like this whole circular thing where when I was growing up singing in church and singing in choir and doing those solos, that prepared me, to be able to be in Third Day. That prepared me to, helped me be a, you know, better front man, because I was used to singing in front of people. I knew how to, you know, be in front of people and sing and even say a few words. And so it's like church first prepared me for being in a rock band, and then being in the rock band in turn also prepared me later on to be a worship leader at church. So it's a really cool kind of, I don't know, it all comes around again.
Yeah. It is an interesting thing. I think a lot of times we think of, you know, the idea of, you know, well, we're not performing, we're worshiping, it's different, but we're still interacting with everybody, right? Like sometimes I know as a kid, my idea of not performing was I'd go hide behind the giant plant and be like, I just don't want anybody to see me. And I just want to go hide over here and I want to play my guitar and that'll be fine. And how much of that interaction and us all doing it together gets lost when your picture of, well, not performing is that I'm not going to interact with everybody, where the whole beauty of being at church is the interaction with everybody singing together and like having that experience together. It's like what makes it so special.
I think that's a very biblical thing. You know, when you read through the Psalms, when the psalmist writes, you know, you should come together and worship the Lord together and lift your hands together and lift up your voices. So it's a beautiful thing. I do get that and understand that idea about not being performance, but, you know, you can still, like, I am greatly encouraged when I am in congregation, whether it's in concert or whether it's in on Sunday morning, when I see someone lifting their hands, when I see them crying and emotional about what the Lord's doing in their lives. And all that, you know, I remember going to a Christian concert. I went and saw Carmen, and I didn't know anything about Carmen. I had no idea who he was. I didn't know any songs or anything. I just went because a friend invited me. And I grew up in this little church where I grew up in Southern Baptist Church, and it was very, very conservative. It was like nobody said amen. Nobody lifted their hands. It was like you sit there and you be quiet. It's more reverent, you know, which is fine. It was just different than I'm used to now. And when I went to that Carmen concert, I saw people just shouting to the Lord, lifting up their hands. And I was like, wow, this is very different. And I was scared of it, you know, and self lifting my hands up because I was encouraged to do that. And then there was this freedom in doing that. There was this not worrying about what the person beside me was thinking and thinking that I was crazy, because I didn't matter to me. I was like worshiping the Lord truly. So I think back to what you were saying, there's something great about that congregational thing, encouraging one another into worship.
So in your current role as a worship pastor at your church, are you working with volunteers?
For the most part, no. Mm-hmm. Have a service, an earlier service that someone else leads where there's volunteers in that. For our service, it's guys who are hired and who, you know, have been around, thankfully been around for a long time. I mean, there's guys there that have been there 13, 14 years playing bass and guitar, and there's some newer guys too, but for the most part, it's a hired team.
How is it different from, you know, I think a lot of times we get in our ideas, you know, we think about the worship team and the worship band and like, well, we should be able to do this and do all this. And it's like, well, we're not all like, it sounds awesome that it sounds like you've had a lot of people who have been around for a long time, but you know, going and playing 12 songs or 20 songs or whatever that you always play all the time compared to
working with volunteers and how do you bring somebody new into that? Is that like a different experience for you, kind of working with these guys versus just like your tight knit band?
Yeah, and I think that's another thing that for me that was so different about leading worship on Sundays as opposed to being in a concert, you know, touring concert, was being able to, you know, do different songs every Sunday. That kind of threw me for a loop. And I'm terrible at lyrics. And so if that little monitor is not there showing me what the lyrics are, I'm done. I'm toast. And so just like most people who are, you know, the congregants who are singing along, if that screen goes out, you know, most of us back in the day is everybody had a hymn book and you opened it and so you could see the words. If those words aren't on that screen, you know, it's not a good thing. But I think that was one of the things that made, that was so different for me, getting used to doing different songs every single week. And then also, thus we're very fortunate. We have the same band every week. Every once in a while, there's one or two people that change out, but for the most part, it's like having your guys. So it's almost like for me being in Third Day, where this is the set group of guys, all the time. When I was doing my country stuff, you know, it was almost every week there was a new drummer or a new guitar player. And I kind of, that prepared me a little bit more for like the volunteer side of church worship band, and just trusting and hoping people have learned their part and that they know what they're doing. So yeah, it's kind of different, but it keeps you on your toes.
Yeah, I bet. So what's looking forward now? You've just put out this new record. Are you touring? Are you touring it right now? You say you're in Wichita right now, right?
Wichita Falls, Texas. I'm with Newsboys and Danny Gokey, and the tour started last week and goes through, I think through April, and having a great time. You know, with the very first major tour that we did as Third Day, we opened up for the Newsboys. Our first record came out in 96 and nobody knew who we were, so nobody would take us out on the road with them. And so we went and did a year and a half or so of our own touring. And here I am 25 years later, back on the road with the Newsboys. I joke every day, I go, when I first started, people told me in the industry, you tour twice with Newsboys in your career, once on the way up and once on the way down. So it's good to be back.
that is awesome. Well, I certainly hope you're not on the way down. I think that the new stuff is really great. Like it's a cool take on things. And I really enjoyed kind of like the personal pieces of what you're doing. So, very, very cool stuff going forward. I always like to ask people on, just artists, you know, we're all musicians that are probably listening to this podcast. You know, there's always a few moments on every record that just kind of, you're like, oh, I just love when the bass comes in on this, or I just love how the drums do this fill, or I love, what are some of your favorite moments on New Creation?
There are things like, for example, I don't know how familiar your listeners are, but there's a guy named Ed Cash, and Ed is a famous producer and has produced a lot of worship, produced and wrote with Chris Tomlin for years. And now he's in a band called We the Kingdom. Well, I've known Ed for a long time, and we never really had a chance to work together. There were a couple of times we got close to it and it just didn't work out. And he had one day available. I went and to his house to write and got together with Ethan Holtz, who Ethan is an amazing, amazing songwriter. People, if you look him up, you'll know a bunch of songs that he's written. And it was funny. I was driving to Ed's house and didn't, I was just kind of out of ideas. I was like, man, I finally have a chance to write with Ed and I don't even have an idea. So we'll just see what happens. But as I was driving, it was real early and the sun was kind of coming up, and he lives off in the country in Tennessee. And it was just a beautiful day. And I was thinking about that scripture from the Psalms, from the rising of the sun to the setting of the same, that the name of the Lord be praised. And so I went and to his house and I said, man, honestly, I'm not a great guitar player. So I was like, I haven't even worked this out on my guitar, but this is all I have. from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. Let the name of the Lord be praised. I said, that's all I got. And they were like, great, that's good. Let's move on from there. Let's move forward. What's next? And so it was just, there's something about that song. And so now, so he produced it and I can hear Ed's voice in the background, doing the background vocals. And it just is like, I'm always encouraged when I hear that.
Oh, it's awesome. It's like an instant. It's one of those songs that you almost feel like you've heard before. You're just like, and I mean that in a good way, where you're just like, this does exactly what I need it to do right now. This is unbelievable. I feel like I've been singing it for 20 years and it's totally fresh and new at the same time.
Yeah, we do it at our church, or I'll lead it at church. And it's just, I don't know, it feels good. I don't think it'll ever be like a radio single or anything like that, but I just, it's easy. It's one of those things you hear at one time and you can kind of sing it back. And so there's quite a few moments. There's a song called Everlasting Arms. That I don't know, vocally there's whatever, you know, the guys who were working on that, whatever they did, I like how they got my vocal from that. I hear that and go, man, that sounds good. And like, there's some strings on it that's just come in.
Well, Mac, I told you, it is such a pleasure to talk to you. Like I said, I jumped at the opportunity because it's just, you have, you just have a career and a ministry that has lasted so long and continues to be fresh and new. And thank you so much for joining us on the podcast.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me, and look forward to talking again somewhere down the road.
So if you were left wondering if Mac is actually short for something, mm-hmm. It isn't.
Really?
Yeah. It's a middle name.
Who goes by their middle name?
People do.
Actually, my father-in-law does, now that I think about it.
So his full name is actually Johnny Mac Powell.
I feel like Johnny Mac could be actually a good rap name.
I wonder why.
Because Toby Mac also has a...
Yep, yeah. There it is.
Took me a second.
Yep.
It took me a second. Probably a good idea to not go with that. But here's the question that I want to ask you, okay, that I'm not sure that I want the answer to.
Mm-hmm.
This happens a lot in our office. Do you know who Third Day is?
I actually do. I can't say that I listen to them all the time. Not that, you know, I just, yeah, I don't.
That's fine.
But I did grow up listening to radio, and they were on the radio often.
Yeah, they were huge. And I'll tell you, the songs that he came out, I'll be honest, anytime you have an artist who, you know, is in a band and then they're doing solo stuff, and then you're like, okay, we're going to have you on the podcast, we're going to see how this is.
Mm-hmm.
You just never know.
Yeah.
You just never know, like, is this, who knows what this guy's going to be like? Do I have this image of them in my head that it's something different? And like, I had so much fun, and the record is actually really good. Like, I was going through it and going like, wow, there's like, I always listen to the records that anything that we do on the podcast. Mm-hmm. Obviously we listen to a ton of music for worship artistry, but so I was a little nervous about it. I was like, oh, I don't want to have them on and then be like, let's not talk about your record, 'cause it's not very good.
Yeah.
'Cause that,
you know, that wouldn't be good.
That's not what I want to do.
Yeah.
That's not what I want to do. It's fantastic. It was actually really, really fun to listen to.
I'm going to have to listen to it.
And he's obviously like, the one thing, if you're listening to this and you're not watching it, which I don't know why I looked at the camera right then when I said that, because you're only listening to it.
Because you didn't see
still
that.
Still learning of this camera thing. I never get in front of a camera. It's weird. As we were talking, Mac was laughing a lot. We were having a good time going back and forth. But normally I do interviews via Skype, mm-hmm. and this time I had to do it via Zoom because he didn't have Skype where he was at. And you can't hear, like, Skype cuts off whoever's making the most noise,
mm-hmm.
or whoever's making the least amount of noise. So like, I was kind of like joking with him a number of times, and I just want you to know, he was laughing. You can see it on the video. There is proof. You can
go to the YouTube. Are you actually funny?
Well, it's more like, it's, you know, when you say something, especially when, like, I don't know, I was probably a little bold on a couple things, you know, but he was kind of poking fun at himself too. So it was just felt right. Felt like we're having a good time, you know, but it definitely was like, I thought as I was listening back to it, I was like, this sounds like I'm saying things and he's just mad.
So did you just see him laughing and not actually hear him laughing?
Yes. So yeah. And he's a big laugher.
That's almost a little bit more enjoyable.
Yeah. It was fantastic. And I think you still kind of hear, I mean, you can see it. He starts and happens, but anyway, I just want you to know, I just want you to know, if you weren't watching, if you're just listening.
He did find that you were funny.
The man is a good sport.
It's great.
He was having a good time. Well, we hope that you had a good time on our first video podcast. Or you can obviously always go and subscribe to our YouTube channel where we'll be posting these. Or you can listen to us in the normal places like Spotify, iTunes, all those places that you listen to
all
podcasts. We're in all those places. So please go ahead and do that. And also, you know, if you want to learn some, we have like one Third Day song. I'll be honest. We don't have a lot of Third Day stuff. They were kind of having their moment a little bit before we started. Like, we're always kind of like chasing things, and we're actually backfilling and doing other songs too. So, I'm sure we'll have some more stuff in there. One of my favorite comments we ever got on our website when people quit. So I don't like it when people quit, but sometimes they're just like, oh, I'm not on the worship team anymore. Yeah. You know, you kind of go through those things. But we always ask the question like, oh, why are you leaving? And one person was like, I don't even remember the name of the song, but he was like, you don't have this song by Third Day and everybody has that song. I was like, everybody who has...
It's a valid reason.
Yeah. I mean, it was like, you know what? I'm sorry I let you down.
They really wanted to learn that song.
I know. I bet you could
Can't
find it.
Can't blame them.
I bet you really want to find it that bad. I mean, if everybody has it, I'm sure you could find it everywhere else. So,
true.
But maybe we'll get that one in. Sometimes maybe. It's hard to teach old songs because, like, even just the audio quality of what was like really good audio quality in the 90s or, you know, early 2000s
right.
now doesn't quite carry over. So, yeah. We're always kind of thinking about that. But we're actually kind of working on some things to kind of remedy that for some songs. So,
wink, wink.
Yeah, wink, wink. You can see it happening. All right, everybody. But yes, if you do want to learn worship songs, you can go over to worshipartistry.com where you can sign up for a free account and you can learn over 600 songs for guitar, bass, drums, keyboard,
a lot of songs.
Vocals. Yeah, it's the most songs. It's the most songs. We don't have that one song, but maybe we will.
One day.
Maybe on the third day.
Wow.
Bye, everyone.